we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9, that's one of my favorite verses. After hearing John's testimony, I mean, wow. I just keep saying, wow. That was amazing. And how appropriate when we talk about confess, that that's what we're teaching on tonight. Interestingly enough, that you are here, and you are here, and I'm here. And one of the reasons I find it interesting is because I really didn't want to talk about something tonight. Imagine that. Gotta confess something. Huh. Confession is an interesting thing. All throughout history of churches, what do you think about when you think of confession? I'm Russian Orthodox, you know, like the Catholic Church. I think of the priest. You go behind the curtain, you know, you go and tell your bad deeds that you did. I lied, I stole, I did whatever. And then he forgives you, right, in the name of God. And then you take communion. That's how we did it in our church. And then you take communion, and then you're supposedly absolved of your sin. When I was reading through Exodus a while back ago, that was how it all started. At the temple of God, you know, that this priest, it was Aaron, and because he was the holy, in the holy of holies, he was the one that can only absolve you of your sin. And you'd have to sacrifice the lamb and sacrifice the goat and sacrifice whatever, the birds, for whatever sin you've committed. And then you go on your way. Well, that doesn't stop people from sinning. Has it ever stopped you from sinning? It certainly has never stopped me. Made you think a little bit, but I knew that when I had to go to the priest, it was like repetitive, you know. In the Old Testament, that's the way they did it. Now, fast forward to when Jesus came. Because of Jesus dying on that cross and rising again, we don't have to do that anymore. He has absolved us of our sins when we confess them to him. But it's not like just going to your priest. He literally died to restore our souls from those sins. And I kept thinking, well, okay. So in my life, I go throughout my life, you know, hearing about confession. What does confession have to do with 12 steps and recovery? Well, it has a lot to do with it, because you can't get healed without admitting to something. What's that saying? Where is it? In Jeremiah 16:14, it says, you can't heal a wound by saying it's not there. So for a big chunk of my life, and I know with a lot of people, as long as you don't talk about it, it didn't happen, or it's not there. And it's, you know, you just kind of, it's behind you, kind of ignored, or you cover it up with something or something like that. So when we talk about confessing, it says in our principle, it says, openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Because it tells us in scripture, like here, you know, that he will forgive us. But it says in James, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So it's to go to Jesus and to one another. Why go to one another? Because if you keep it to yourself, it's like it really didn't happen. God asks us to be honest with ourselves. God asked John Willis to be honest and talk about that. So after doing our inventory, and that's what we've been doing the last few weeks, which is a really hard time. If you look in your little leaflets, we have the little acronym for confess. And we'll go through that. It says, you know, our sins have built a barrier between us and God. And confession restores our fellowship with God. That's what it's all about. We want to restore our one-on-one relationship with the Lord. And we can't have it when we're not honest with him. I mean, I'm sure you know people. I'm sure you know people. I know I do. That think, I don't have to do that. I'm just going to go through life and doing whatever I want to do because nobody knows. And if they don't know, and if I don't tell them, I'm okay. So I can be Susie Christian over here, praise God, hallelujah, and then I come over here and do whatever I want because nobody sees me. This is a really hard town to do that in, but, you know, in the real world over there, it's still. And even here, people try to do it. So, confessing. So if you look at the acronym, the C stands for confess, which is confess your shortcomings, resentments, and sin to God. It's also confessing your character defects, because even if you've gone through recovery and stuff, there's things that happen in our life that lead to character defects in our life, like depression and grief and anger and things like that. And those are the things we need to confess. God wants us to come clean. We have to open up and own up to the things that we've done. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. And that's in Proverbs. And that's from the wisest man. That's from Solomon. Obey God's direction for O. Obedience. God calls us to be obedient as believers. Confession restores our fellowship with God. And that's being obedient to him. And that's what he asks us to do every day. And if we want to be Christ-like and followers of Jesus, we need to be obedient to him, just like John Willis did, like you did tonight, Mike, you know, just saying that, you know what, I need to get something off my chest. Because if you keep carrying it inside of you, you know what's going to happen. It goes deeper and deeper, and it festers and festers and festers, and it grows, and it gets all icky, and it can cause pain all different directions. And you think you got it all under control. This is really especially true with anger. You think you got it all under control. Yeah, I'm good. And then something happens and bam, the Incredible Hulk comes out, right? You don't know when it's going to come out. And it'll come out and take you completely by surprise. I had such a shock last week when I was at in Chicago with my niece. This is kind of a sidebar. And I was moving right along. Oh, hello. That's all right. We're glad you're here. I'm moving right along with everything, you know, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong. Why was I feeling the way I was feeling? And it hit me like a ton of bricks. My niece's husband, not just by looks, but looks, action, voice, sound, everything, reminds me so much of my ex-husband. It was eerie. It was creepy kind of a thing. I literally had to walk out of the room sometimes. And so what does that do? It brings back a flood of memories. And then it caused for me to react differently to other people. It caused me to be a little ticked off. It caused me to kind of get into my hole. It just causes different things. It's like a domino effect. It goes boom, boom, boom. If we don't confess that, if I kept on just feeling that over and over and over again, all that's going to do when I came home, it just sat there and festered in me. And in turn, something happened during the week, and then I snapped again. And I started down my spiraling, down my hole again. I texted my counselor, and I said, are you available? I have to process something with you. Can I run something by you? I needed to confess to her what had happened, what I was doing. And I got to tell you, it wasn't easy going through that. It was painful, very, very painful, things that I had to bring up, emotions and stuff. But I'll tell you what, doing that freed me. The freedom on the other side of confession, the healing is amazing. So when you, and that makes you obedient to God. That's what he wants from us. So you want to confess your sins to God, and then you share them with another person whom you trust. By me sharing with her, it opened that up inside of me to come out of here so I can actually face it and then deal with it. Because if you keep it hidden, you cannot deal with it. So then we come to N, which is no more guilt. No. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, saying no, no more of this. I'm done living in guilt. It allows us to move on from our rearview mirror living. And if you picture yourself in a car, and can you imagine driving forward? What would it look like if you were constantly looking in the rearview mirror? Well, knowing me, I'd crash. I don't do that well. So I can't multitask while I'm driving. So we cannot move forward if we're constantly looking backwards. So in his process, God was telling me that there was something that I needed to talk about, which I had already confessed to God. I'd already confessed it to somebody else. I know I'm forgiven by God's grace by this particular sin of mine. I know that. That's great. But I haven't told anybody here. And there's a couple of different reasons. One, I didn't want people to think differently about me. I didn't want them to judge me. Two, I didn't want my sisters to know because they don't know. And I was talking to somebody who was going through something else, and I was answering her, and I said, that doesn't define you. That thing that you're doing, that thing that you're talking about, that thing that you're afraid of does not define you. Christ defines you. Hello, there's a mirror right there going, Irene, that sin does not define you anymore. Mercy, grace, that defines you. Jesus Christ defines you. What am I afraid of? Am I afraid of what you're going to think? Are you going to think less of me? You know what? It doesn't matter. So I had gone through this. I had gone through this whole thing before, and that was a very difficult thing for me. And I will share that when I share my testimony. It'll get into more detail about how it happened. But my confession is that I live with the fact that I've had abortions in the past. And that is very difficult for me. As John said, he killed somebody. I believe I did. And I believe that I didn't have a reason to be forgiven because I committed the ultimate sin. I wasn't good enough for God to have grace for me. But luckily, Jesus sees it differently because no sin is worse than any other one, whether it's stealing or killing, or judging, or whatever it is. They're all the same. God sees them as all the same. People see them differently. I looked at myself differently. I had that secret 20 plus years. And my pastor asked me if I would, because we were going through this class, and he saw the freedom that I was getting. So he had me share it in church. So I was willing to do that there. I wasn't willing to do that here. But through this lovely lesson of confession, guess what he wanted me to talk about? So I'm kind of happy there's not a lot of people here, but I also know this is going on podcast, so well. But God's great mercy is for anything and everybody, no matter what. The con is over. We have followed God's directions on how to confess our wrong. So, move on to F, to face the truth. Well, really? Recovery requires honesty. And I got to tell you, I think God has been telling me this all along. There's a reason these seats are empty. Because people are afraid to face the honesty inside of themselves. They are. They're not willing to do it because you know why? Because it hurts. It hurts to face your honesty. When I called my counselor and she started opening up these wounds and stuff inside of me, and it was painful. I was sitting there. I felt like my gut was wrenching because I was getting all this more garbage out. There seems like there's more, but buried deep inside. Yeah, it was painful, but guess what? On the other side of that is freedom and healing through the power of Jesus Christ. And it is amazing because you feel that much lighter. You feel that much more freedom. You feel that much more healed. You feel that much more closer to God. You feel that much more peace. And that is willing. You got to be willing to do that because if you can't be honest with yourself about all the different things, when you can say, oh yeah, well, I know I quit drinking and you know, it doesn't bother me anymore. So I'm good. Bye. You know how many times I've heard that? It's ridiculous. Really, you think it's that easy? Or I'm good with my food. I don't need to diet. I'm good. Or my anger. You know what? I'm good. I'm healed. Okay, see you later. Really? So why did that happen to you? And why did you blow up? Why do you think you're so angry all the time? Why do you think you're unhappy? I mean, there's all of these things. But if you're not willing to face them, it doesn't do any good. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. He will have the light of life. And there's that very famous one from John 8:32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that's not just a quote. That is the truth. So the E is for ease the pain. I got to tell you, the pain in my chest all day today, when I was thinking of this, it was crazy. I didn't even know what to do. I was walking home from work before I came here, and literally all of a sudden the pain went from here and here. My legs were hurting. My arms were hurting. Everything was hurting me. I thought, what the heck is going on? I mean, I couldn't even walk up my steps. Okay, what? Because I stopped taking Celebrex for a few days? I can't believe that that's what's doing this. I get home and I started, getting my books and I started getting ready to come over. And I said, God, what the heck? And all of a sudden it hit me like a ton of lead. Satan, get out of here. You are not going to win this. Because guess what? I'm still talking about it. I am still going to talk about it and praise you because you have freed me from that sin. I am no longer guilty. I don't have that shame and guilt that I wore for 20 plus years. So if Satan thinks he's going to drag me down, then I'm not going to say it. In fact, even just now, just a few minutes ago, while John was sharing and something happened, I thought, I could talk about something else. I don't have to talk about it because there's nobody here. But Satan is not going to win. He's not going to beat me on this. Ease the pain. And I love how this is worded here, so I'm just going to read it straight out of this little thing here. We are only as sick as our secrets. When we share our deepest secrets with someone else, we divide the pain and the shame. We begin to see a healthy self-worth develop, one that is no longer based on the world's standards, but on those of Jesus Christ. That spoke volumes to me. To divide the pain and the shame, that means I didn't have to carry all that responsibility by myself. When I was going through my divorce, I kept taking all the responsibility. Well, I could have done this. I should have done this. I should have done this. I could have done this and for my kids and da-da-da-da-da. She looks at me, she goes, what, did nobody else have any responsibility there? You're carrying all that yourself. Even when we were married and going through marriage counseling, she goes, you need to divide, this is both of your responsibility. You don't have to carry all that responsibility, and you don't have to carry all that responsibility. It made it so much easier when you divide it. When you take a job, try doing it all by yourself. Yeah, you could do it, but it'll take longer. It's harder. When you divide the work up, it's so much easier. It's the same thing with confession. If you divide it, but I love it, you divide the pain and the shame. You don't have to wear that anymore. Thanks to Jesus. Thanks to that empty cross. The scripture is from Psalm 32, and I love this version. It's the Living Bible version. And of course, this is King David. There was a time when I wouldn't admit what a sinner I was, but my dishonesty made me miserable and filled my days with frustration. My strength evaporated like water on a sunny day until I finally admitted all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, I will confess them to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. I will see my babies again, and they're going to know that I love them no matter what the choices that I made at that time in my life. And I'm not here to judge anybody, because I used to do that. It was really easy before I was in that position. So easy to go, you shouldn't do that. That's a sin. You shouldn't do that. And I did that before. It's amazing. To be freed from that is amazing. The first S in confess is to stop the blame. We cannot find peace and serenity if we continue to blame ourselves or others. Any of you guilty of blaming anybody else for any of the things in our lives? I'm sure I'm not the only one here raising my hand. Because it's really easy to go, if it wasn't for you, well, I could do, if it wasn't for my dad treating me the way he did, he was so shamefully mean to me. If it wasn't for some of my sisters being really, judgmental and mean to me, if it wasn't for my grandmother giving me all the Snickers bar underneath the, behind my back, I wouldn't have been so fat. If it wasn't for Mark being so mean to me and treating me, making me feel stupid, if it wasn't for blah, 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 and it goes on and on, where's my part? I have a part in this, but it's easier to blame. But there's no peace in that. Our secrets have isolated us from each other. We go around the world. We go around our little community in our own little worlds. We all have our own little cocoons, And, well, as long as they don't know the truth about me, they can't judge me. Surprise. God's the judge, not people. That's what we have to think about. Keeping those secrets has prevented us from intimacy in all our relationships. And that one was actually quite true in my marriage. I kept a secret from my husband for many, many years. And it was wrong of me. And I had to ask his forgiveness on that. It scared the bejeebies out of me when I had to do that. And but with God by my side, I did it. And at that moment, he didn't hate me. It wasn't until later all the other junk happened. But, it's not worth it. And whether he got mad at me or not, that wasn't the point. That person's response isn't what we're looking for. That's out of our control. All we have to look is how to be obedient to God and do it how he wants us to do it. And the last S in that is start accepting God's forgiveness. That was a big step for me to figure out, how can God forgive me for what I did? I mean, that's unforgivable, I always thought. But it's not. God's forgiveness is there, and I have to accept it. It's there for everybody. But a lot of us don't accept it. We're always saying, it's good for you, but it can't be for me. I'm too bad. I've done too many bad things. It'll work for you, but not for me. What makes me so special? Yeah. But we want to understand ourselves and our past actions in a new light. We got to look at things differently. Now, when I look at those things that were brought out of the darkness, I see them in a new light. They can't hurt me anymore unless I let them, unless I start bringing them back in. They cannot hurt me anymore because you see things through Jesus. You see things in a new light, in a different light. To sum up the benefits of this principle of confessing, in confession, we open up our lives to the healing, reconciling, restoring, and uplifting grace of Jesus Christ, who loves us in spite of ourselves. I mean, his love is unfailing. It's always there. I heard something on the radio this morning, it was in devotions I was reading, and the first line jumped out at me, and the little kid says, "Mommy, will you still love me if I..." dot, dot, dot. And as a parent, I remember those times when the kids would say, "I lied, I did something at school, will you still love me?" Well, of course you will. You're going to love your child unconditionally no matter what. As a parent, that's what you do. But that's how God sees us. He doesn't, of course he cares what we do. He doesn't want us to do the bad things, but he's there anyway. He goes, "Of course I love you. Of course I forgive you." That's what he wants to tell us. As a parent, our love for children is not based on how they perform or behave. So on the days that we mess up completely, and on the days that we're close to getting it all right, his love keeps coming, keeps pouring out to us. His love can then fill our hearts to overflowing, so unconditional love spills out and over to those all around us. I would encourage you greatly to, if you don't have an accountability partner, a sponsor, somebody to talk to, somebody to confess to, it doesn't have to be a priest. You can do that too. a believer is a good place to go. And I would, and sit down with yourself in the, in our little pamphlet, since, we probably won't do small groups tonight because we're not a very big group. But there's some questions down at the bottom. I want you to take them home and think about them and answer them. In what areas of your life will each of these four positive changes help you recover? That I can be more positive with something. I can ease my pain. These questions aren't just to answer like the right or wrong answers. They're to make you think. What wrongs, resentments, or secret sins are keeping me awake at night? Dig deep inside. Ask somebody to help you with this. When you start talking and praying with somebody, it might help. Would you like to get rid of them? What value do you see in confessing and coming clean of the wreckage of your past? I love that. What freedom do you feel? So all these questions, think on these things, pray on these things, and see what God is telling you.